is violinist Maureen Choi, a Michigander making international waves with her group, the Maureen Choi Quartet. Some call the sound they're creating Spanish chamber jazz, and she is here with us now to talk about the new album out called Thea. Maureen Choi, welcome. So good to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So tell me, what is chamber jazz, and how did you become interested in this genre?
Well, you know, it's kind of, I don't know if you can call it a genre, but that's how I feel the most comfortable calling what I'm doing. I don't really like boxing ourselves in anything, but if we had to give ourselves a label, I guess that would be the closest thing that encompasses what we're doing. So basically, the music that I compose and the music that I play is a mix of Western classical music, Western classical chamber music concepts in composition and in arranging, and jazz because there's so much freedom and lots of space for improvisation. And Spanish, because I play music of the Spanish diaspora, and I live in Madrid, España now, so.
There's so many interesting colors that you paint your music with, and you're right, boxing, you are not boxed in, not by a long shot. And I know you grew up in Ann Arbor, graduated from Michigan State University,
yes.
So you were a Spartan, and the Berklee College of Music in Boston. As you say, you are now living and teaching in Spain. What led you to Spain and this interest in the music of the Spanish diaspora?
Well, I've always been interested in Spain in a way, because the music has just always drawn me to that place. I mean, I didn't really know anything about Spain, yeah. But
the music spoke to your heart.
Yes, because the only word that comes to mind when I describe Spanish music is that it's just handsome. It's just too handsome. It's not only beautiful, it's just handsome.
It's a great word, and I had not heard that before, but boy, that does sum it up. And so tell us how living and teaching there is shaping the kind of music you make.
Well, I actually kind of feel more identified as who I am as a musician, more in Spain than here. It's interesting because living in Spain, I can reflect a lot about my life and how I grew up, because I have that luxury to be able to look at my life from the outside. And I see so many similarities from the Korean culture living in Spain. And
that's interesting. Tell me more about that.
Well, you know, they call Koreans the Latinos of Asia because we're all very fiery, and Spaniards are extremely fiery like Koreans. You know, it's all about family and food. The importance of food, I mean, is huge in the Korean culture and in the Spanish culture. You know, no matter how much you eat, your mom is always asking, do you want more? Are you sure you had enough? And it's that way in Spain all the time. So I feel very comfortable in that regard.
The pleasures of life, food, music, it all fits.
Yeah,
fits. And tell me more about how your Korean heritage factors into your music.
My Korean heritage factors into my music just because Koreans have a lot of respect for classical music, Western classical music. And my mom, she sang soprano, and my father played Spanish guitar. And so my mom studied in Vienna, and my parents were just lovers of music, and music was on 24/7. So, my favorite violin repertoire, all the concertos that I love to play, they all had a hint of the Spanish sound. Those are my favorite to play. So, and it also just fits my personality. I'm not so much of a Mozart player.
You could do it. You
yes,
could do it.
Yep.
But your heart calls you elsewhere. Well, let's take a listen to one of your tracks. Tell us about Dear Paco.
Okay, well, Dear Paco is I'm paying tribute to the great Paco de Lucía. He's one of the most important and the greatest guitarists that ever came out of Spain. He died 4 or 5 years ago, I believe. And the influence that he had in the flamenco world and the jazz world is tremendous. And so I took one of his tunes from the 80s, I believe, and I transcribed all of his playing and I put it on my violin. So I was trying to grab everything that I could from the guitar, flamenco guitar, and mix it in with all my classical training and all the technique that I know, and to have it sound, you know, like the flamenco guitar but on the violin. So that's our tribute to the great Paco de Lucía.
Thank you. a track from the new album from the Maureen Choi Quartet called Theia. What does that title mean?
Well, Theia in Greek mythology is a titaness, the mother of Selene, the moon goddess, Helios, the sun god, and Eos, goddess of the dawn. And in astronomy, Theia is a planet that collided and melted into the early Earth 4.5 billion years ago. And the cloud of debris is what formed the moon. Mm. So Theia to me, well, I had a pretty rough 2018. So this album is a representation of chaos and loss, but I came out stronger with more colors and different perspectives at the end. So Theia is kind of, and the first track, Phoenix Borealis, kind of represents that also. I mean, the bass solo has crazy sounds.
It does. And,
yeah, with effects.
It does.
And then I come in there kind of flying, you know, with harmonics, improvising in harmonics for a while. And so it kind of paints that picture of dark and light.
Can you share a little of what happened in that rough year?
Yeah, I lost my first child.
So music was a real therapy for you.
Yeah, I actually composed September the 1st for my first child.
Okay.
The melody just kind of poured out of me in the tragedy and the sadness. It's a very simple song, but it's extremely beautiful because it's so sad. And the melody is very simple but melodic. It's very touching. And during our live concerts, we have people singing with us at the end. So everyone gets to be involved.
How did that process of writing this and then as you stand in front of a crowd and have them share in this moment in your life through this song, is that healing?
It's extremely healing, and many people don't understand or they don't know what the song is about, but they feel something. And I've had many women crying during the song, and they come up to me afterwards and they're like, I don't know what it is about the song, but I was weeping. And then there are some times when I do share, well, I wrote this song to heal the loss. And then I have those moments where I can't connect with some fans on a very personal level because, you know, you just start sharing and you build these real human connections. And so September the 1st is a very emotionally heavy piece, but every time I play it, I do feel a little lighter.
I know you've played all around the world. You're on your North American tour right now with some dates this week in the Great Lakes, which we'll have more on in a moment. Just wondering, our audiences, let's say if you're playing on a stage in Beijing, are they different than playing on a stage in Ann Arbor?
Well, I'll let you know because I'm going to Asia for a month in September.
How about in Spain?
In Spain, well, in Spain, they're rowdy, and I love that. Well, it depends on where in Spain, because the north is a little bit colder. But, you know, basically the south and Madrid, I mean, they're always screaming and crying and dancing. So,
and I know this is a new album out, but do you have your eye on a next project?
Yes. So we've made arrangements of Rimsky-Korsakov's Capriccio Español. And that kind of gave us the idea for the next album, which is going to be arrangements of Manuel de Falla. And so we're going to take a bunch of his pieces and arrange it in the style of Maureen Choi Quartet.
Very, very fun. Well, the Maureen Choi Quartet will be performing all around Michigan this week, this Wednesday the 19th at Cliff Bells in Detroit, Saturday at the Summer Solstice Jazz Festival in East Lansing, and then Sunday at the Carytown Concert House in Ann Arbor, back before a hometown crowd. And you can get all the details about the tour and this new album, Theia, by going to maureenchoi.com. Such a pleasure, and thank you so much for spending time with us on Stateside.
Thank you so much for having me.
Support for arts and culture coverage comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.